For this New Year's Day, let's read together Psalm 90. Psalm 90. It's introduced as the prayer of Moses, the man of God. Here we read God's word, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction, and you say, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. You carry them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we are consumed by your anger, and by your wrath are we troubled. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days are passed away in your wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? Even according to your fear, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent you concerning your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein you have afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let your work appear unto your servants, and your glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Your congregation belonging to Christ, today we're being somewhat traditional. Just like in Christmas Day services, the church often reads from Luke chapter 2. So with New Year's time, the Christian church, also in our heritage, often reads from Psalm 90. And for good reason. And we want to do that this morning, looking especially too at verse 12. The words of Moses there, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Literally, you could translate the verse, teach us to number our days, therefore, that we may get or cause to get or gain a heart of wisdom. The Psalm 90 is likely the oldest psalm in the Bible. And I read the introduction to you. It's a psalm of Moses, the man of God. And when did Moses, or how old was Moses before he died? Do you know? In Deuteronomy 34, verse 7, we are told he was 120 years old when he died. That's pretty old. Hardly anyone gets that old today. I read last week about a U.S. war veteran, oldest one, that died, 112. And that's pretty exceptional. We know, too, that Moses lived about 3,600 years ago. That's a long time, too, isn't it? 3,600 years ago. And he experienced in his life what? A lot of troubles. A lot of sad times. A lot of hard times he went through. He experienced probably something which no one else has experienced like he has in his life. What was that? He experienced more deaths in his lifetime than many people. A whole generation of Israelites, 20 years and above, died in his lifetime in the wilderness journey. That was quite something for him to experience. We'll come back to that a bit later. And something of that experience and journey of life that Moses went through, especially in the wilderness journey for 40 years on the way to Canaan, is reflected in this psalm, Psalm 90. As one commentator said of this aged, inspired psalm, quote, "Perhaps only Isaiah 40 can compare with this psalm for its presentation of God's grandeur and eternity over against the frailty of man." Well, for this New Year's Day service, let's learn from this psalm, especially from the prayer, as I mentioned, verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." As you face the year 2019, are you sensing the need to ask for the Lord's guidance step by step, day by day? Are you looking for Him, to Him for wisdom in all your ways, in all your relationships, in all your responsibilities? Surely aged Moses is instructing us in this way by God the Holy Spirit, that you and I pray as we move forward. "Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." We can learn wisdom, congregation, just from the structure of this psalm. It's not difficult to see that the psalm is divided into two main parts. In the first section, verses 1 to 11, and I like to include verse 12, 1 to 12, you can say Moses is prayerfully meditating on God and His works and ways over against man. And then in verses 12 to 17, Moses is in intercessory prayer and petition to this God. In the first part, you can say he's exalting God compared to man. And in the second part, he is making requests to God on behalf of himself and man. In other words, Moses' relationship with God, we can say, is something real and practical. It's something actual and helpful. How much you and I can learn just from that, can't we? Is your and my spiritual, religious life something real and practical? Is it something actual and helpful by God's grace and Spirit? Isn't the way to be spurred on in prayer to God through meditating and reflecting on God's Word and God's works as revealed in His being and in His character and all His ways throughout history? As the Bible tells us about it, as Moses also experienced it. You can't learn wisdom's ways, congregation. I can't either, without reading and pondering and hearing often teaching and preaching from the Word of God, as those opportunities are given to us time and again. And as we are able to also read from God's Word at home, and as we are allowed by God's grace and mercy to learn from God's Word in during the week, even with Bible studies and other studies that are available to us, will you live this way in the year 2019, loving God's Word, saying with the psalmist, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light upon my path"? To live wisely, we must be in and under God's Word. What an example Moses is too, in that prayerful meditation on God's Word resulted in his heart and life in intercessory prayer to God based on God's Word. It is beautiful to see the development of Moses' view and hold of God in prayer in this psalm. Just he begins with calling God Adonai, verse 1. It's not the word Jehovah, but it's the word Adonai. We're referring to God as the majestic God, sovereign Lord over all. But then in verse 13, as he continues to pray, he uses the word Jehovah, God's covenant name, as he pleads with God for Israel. And then notice in verse 17, he speaks of the Lord our God. He combines Jehovah and Adonai together, and he requests, "Lord, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." Do you see that progress in the psalm? In his hold of God, as he leans on him. Do we know this kind of increasing confidence and comfort in meditation and prayer before the Lord God in our days? Don't we have reason much more to know it than Moses, even living in the New Testament age? We were in the time of Christ having come. We know he is He's been fully revealed in Christ's finished work. What reasons we have to lay hold of God and to have confidence, trusting and following Him. Well, this sermon is now meant to encourage us, each and all, to pray daily. This prayer, especially of Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Notice, by the way, that Moses includes himself in this prayer. He doesn't say, congregation, people of Israel, you need to learn this prayer. I don't need to learn it. You need to learn it. No, he includes himself, even as a 120-year-old man. So teach us to number our days and to apply our hearts to wisdom. Why, with this prayer, is it important for us to understand this prayer and to pray it as Moses teaches it to us? Well, congregation, is it natural for us to number our days? To think much about our frailty and our briefness of life? It's not natural. Oh, we might complain we're getting older, but we don't naturally think much about our frailty and briefness of life. We don't even say to each other with our birthdays, how many days old are you now? But we say, how many years old? 35, 10, 52, 78, 64, whatever. How true what one preacher said. We are more likely to try to count the numberless stars than to count our days in this life. One preacher said, of all arithmetical rules, so of all math rules, you could say, this is the hardest, to number our days. And do we acknowledge that? And thinking of this reality, that even the brightest and the most mature among us, we each and all, are we humble enough to pray daily, to recognize really, we need to be taught to number our days. We need to be taught. You don't know how to do it yourself. I don't either. We need to be taught by God. Are you and I spiritually teachable in regards to this matter? How many can't be bothered with this all-important counsel and instruction, which only God can teach us rightly and profitably? Oh, let us learn to count the number of our days, for there is no more important lesson for us than this lesson. Yes, also, as we enter a new year, 2019. So here, let's go through the psalm more and see what wisdom we need to learn and gain more and more as we live on in years that God gives us to live on in wisdom's ways. What from this Psalm 90 can really help us to number our days and to gain a heart of wisdom? Looking at the psalm as a whole, consider the following main lessons of important divine instruction, very helpful for us to number our days rightly and to walk in wisdom's ways, as Moses prays in our text. For one, think on the fact of God being eternal. Doesn't Moses stress this in the opening verses and really throughout this whole psalm? He speaks of God being our dwelling place in all generations. And Moses then tells of God, doesn't he, being from everlasting to everlasting. Congregation, never does this one true God not exist. Never can we get away from his presence and from him being God over us all. The Lord God of the Bible, that God has fully revealed in Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. He is someone always there, always here, always in existence. The one with whom we all have to do too, and before whom all of us, each and every one, will one day have to give an account. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 and Hebrews 9, 27. To think or to convince yourself, I don't have to worry about God in my life, is just being plain ignorant of what is the unquestionable, most certain reality forevermore for all people, namely that God is always there and he is the same yesterday, today and forever. He is God from everlasting to everlasting in all generations. So to number our days and to gain wisdom, as Moses meant that, means always to reckon with God. Don't live your life a single day as if God doesn't exist, and as if God doesn't matter, and as if you don't need Him every single day. Moses says, in fact, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. And he means with that expression, among other things, Lord, it is in you and through you and from you that we live and move and have our being. The reality remains that in all generations, literally in generation after generation of fallen, sinful mankind, since Adam and Eve rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden, mankind is rootless, aimless, hopeless, helpless, and indeed even homeless. Homeless, except God be merciful to us and care for us and bless us. What hope do we have? Interestingly, in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, as Moses himself is soon to die, he speaks in parting blessing to the people of Israel, and he says to them, the eternal God is your refuge. And the word refuge there is literally the same as in Psalm 90, verse 1, is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Congregation, how much sense the Bible makes when it says people are fools who say and live as if there is no one true God over all. You won't live as a fool, anyone here among us, will you, in this new year? No, but number your days and gain a heart of wisdom, realizing we were created by God, and it is God who cares for us and who gives us our each and every breath even. God calls us to look to Him and to depend on Him for everything, every day, also this new year. In Psalm 71, verse 3, the believing psalmist prays there to God, saying, be my strong refuge to which I may continually resort. Be my strong refuge to which I may continually resort. Is that you and me? Living that way every day and year is to number your days and to apply your heart unto wisdom. How can you and I live mindful of God every day as the years come and go? Is it not, congregation, by daily reading of His Word and by praying to God like Moses does in Psalm 90 and learning from Him? Notice from this psalm how Moses reminds us, not only learning from Him being eternal God, always there, but secondly, learning from Him as Moses teaches us and brings out in this psalm, how frail and temporary you and I are in and of ourselves. Life in this world doesn't last all that long, does it? Moses in Psalm 90 stresses death as a solemn reality for us all. And it comes after only a brief time here on earth, relatively speaking. Yes, compared to God being from everlasting to everlasting. We, in our years, our lifespan is relatively short. Relatively short. While for God a thousand years is but one day, our years are so short and we are temporary. As fallen creatures, death is an unnatural intrusion but a certain reality for us all. What does Moses say in verse 10? The days of our years are 70 years, 70 and 10. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet is their boast, their strength, labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. I'm a minister for 32 years about. I think I've been involved in about 50 funerals over 32 years. 8 of which were in Calgary. Some related to the church here, some outside the church. Old time Moses, in 40 years, was at grave sites, hundreds of thousands of them, even if not close to a million and millions. Old time Moses is speaking from experience. when he says what he says about the reality of death. How many people he knew before him that died? How many grave sites was he painfully aware of as leader of the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness journey to the promised land? If we are wise, congregation, beloved, each day and every year we take into account the reality of the certainty of death. The wages of sin is death, God told Adam and Eve. And apart from very few supernatural experiences, we know there's not a single human being since Adam and Eve's fall to sin that has not met with death. And while the reality of death is so certain, its time in our life is most uncertain, isn't it? How many people start a week or a day or a year in this world full of life even still, and then at the end of that day or week or year, he or she is no longer here with us on this earth, but they have died. What we see always as other people's turn to die will one day be your and my turn, inevitably, inescapably, indisputably. Well, you say, Pastor, it's New Year's Day. I know. I'm not saying this to want to spoil the hopes for the new year that we each may have, and we praise God that we may have hopes for the new year. But the point of the text is, congregation, shall we live in wisdom and count our days, we need to ever keep in mind the certain prospect and reality of death. Jonathan Edwards, he had 70 resolutions in his life, for his life, which he read often. But one of them, number 9, was this, quote, resolved to think much on all occasions of my own dying and the common circumstances which attend death. And that wasn't because he was morbid, but he was wise. He was godly. The point of our text is, if we will be wise, we will think of death. For all people today, death is a reality facing us, except Christ suddenly return in our generation, and then we will be changed in a moment. Those who are saved to beautiful, perfect saints headed for heaven, and those who are still unsaved into the horrid sinners sent straight to hell. Well, you know with me, too many people today, or many people today, are spending a lot of planning for the future here on earth. And of course, that's good, but planning also for their retirement, which is also wise and good, having a retirement savings plan and an insurance, etc., if anything goes wrong. But it's very sad and it's very foolish if you do all that, but don't think about anything beyond death. And how many people do that? They don't think anything about beyond death. How foolish. How alone can we have success and triumph in and through and over death? What does the Bible teach us most clearly on this matter? It is only as you and I are found in Christ, ever trusting and following Him as our only Savior and Lord, as the crucified and risen Lord, that we can have sure hope and everlasting comfort even through the valley of the shadow of death. And here it comes out, doesn't it? Never is the matter of being right with God and being reconciled to Him by grace through faith in Christ something that's secondary if we're wise. It's something always primary. It's primary. Are you paying attention to this? Also, as all important in your life, even when you're young, are you found in Christ today, trusting and following after Him so that whenever you might die, you don't really die, but you enter eternal life with God in Christ to be forever with Him in His dwelling place. The Bible does say, praise God, as Paul puts it in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How happy and peaceful you and I can live also this year, even if it should be our last year. When Christ is our refuge and we have His sure deliverance and promise of deliverance even over the last enemy, death, for us. One of our congregations had 6 deaths this past year. We had none. But I spoke with the preacher and he said for New Year's Eve, he preached on the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And that's the comfort of that congregation as those people have died in the Lord who died. This we may know when Christ is our refuge. Christ Jesus, with him death could not keep its prey. No, not with Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. That's the gospel. And isn't this the sure portion of all God's true people? Thanks be to God. Guaranteed to us through Christ and his death and resurrection as the supreme and splendid first fruits of God's redeeming salvation work in and through him for all who trust him. Well, we number our days and we apply our hearts to wisdom when we reckon with God in our lives and with death in our lives. What else does Moses surely teach us is related to numbering our days and to gaining a heart of wisdom? Well, will you not agree with me? Moses makes very clear in this psalm, thirdly, how serious our sin problem is. Left to ourselves, our sin problem. Doesn't Moses emphasize this? In fact, that God is a most holy God. And he's very angry with sin. Justly and rightly so too. I ask you as I ask myself, isn't it good to remember this? And that sin is something abhorrent to God. And it's most offensive to him, the least transgression against his law. And no sinner on his own, even with only one sin, can stand before God and live. And of course, we don't only have one sin, do we? Well, why is it good to be reminded of this when we think of moving from one year to the next and we remember that today is New Year's Day? Well, don't we all need to be reminded truly and again about the sinfulness of sin and the great and urgent need to repent of our sins daily and to have short accounts with God and to flee from all sin and evil in our lives? Shall it be well with us? I read a quote this week from a contemporary preacher who said this: Satan, he wrote, continues his efforts to make sin less offensive and heaven less appealing and hell less horrific and the gospel less urgent. And congregation, perhaps we are living in the time where Satan is working extra hard so to deceive people, not only people in the world, but people in the church too, so that we think sin is not that bad and we think heaven can't be that great and hell can't be that terrible and the gospel can't be that necessary. But shall we not learn from our text, from Moses in our psalm, with his solemn instruction about God and sin? Sin brings God's wrath and anger upon us. Moses experienced this in the wilderness journey many times. Except we find escape from the guilt and bondage and punishment of sin with God in his mercy, we are doomed to destruction and everlasting punishment even. Well, Moses knew already in his day there was with God, praise God. Yes, with Jehovah God, the gracious covenant-keeping God. There was with him true and everlasting deliverance from all sin and evil and our foolish ways. Think just of that brazen serpent set up in the wilderness that God set up in mercy on his rebellious people that they might be delivered from that those serpents and the plague of sin. And that we know was just pointing to Jesus Christ, who would pay the full punishment, wouldn't he? Suffering on the cross of Calvary. The punishment for sin, even as he offered to the Lord a perfect righteous sacrifice on behalf of his people. Only by being joined to that Savior and living in union and communion with him as our trust and our hope and our help can we be saved from the wrath to come. The wicked and unbelieving will not be saved from it if they continue in their state. But when you know this Savior, Jesus Christ, as your Savior and Lord, and when you are truly joined to him, isn't it true? Then you live in daily faith and repentance for him. You learn then, don't you, the deceitfulness of sin, and you pray daily to fight sin and evil and to pursue righteousness and godliness in all your ways and relationships, because you know God is a God holy and good. Well, is it your intention as we enter this new year, 2019, to remember God is holy and He hates sin? Are you a new creature in Christ Jesus, ever looking to live to the glory of God and resolved by His grace and Spirit and power to resist the devil and this world and to abhor all sin and evil? Won't that be the case, I ask, if we pray daily and sincerely, as Moses instructs us in our main verse, Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Here another help for us, surely, to glean from this psalm is knowing and ever keeping in mind that the one true and everlasting God is the all-knowing God and the everywhere present God. Can we not foolishly forget this too often? We sometimes speak of God in this sense being omniscient and omnipresent. And doesn't that come out in this psalm very clearly, especially in verse 8, where Moses speaks of God setting our iniquities before Him and our secret sins in the light of His countenance. Moses is teaching us here, what is he teaching us? He's teaching us that there are no such things as secret sins before God. Too often we can think and convince ourselves we can hide wrong thoughts, words, or deeds from the all-knowing, all-seeing God. But never can we do so. Never. Congregation, will you please remember, as one year ends and another year begins, that nothing is secret in your and my life before God, also not in our multimedia age. And be sure your sins will find you out, as Moses says elsewhere in Numbers 32, verse 23. So also in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14, which is a book all about walking in wisdom's ways instead of in the way of vanity and this world. The last verse of that book, full of instruction in wisdom's ways, says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." I'm saying here, dear congregation, belonging to Christ, when we number our days and we gain a heart of wisdom, we try never to forget this reality and always to remember it, that God is the all-seeing, everywhere present God. If you have supposed secret sins even now still that you are hanging on to, foolishly and vainly trying to keep hidden, as you can even to continue to indulge in that evil way, one way or another. Oh, why not come to your senses right now and truly repent of your sin and call out to God for mercy and help, also to save and keep you in the way of grace and mercy and righteousness. You, an otherwise hopelessly depraved, blind, corrupt, hell-bound sinner on your own. Don't allow yourself to stay captive in any sin. And if you are so captivated you can't get out, get help. Cry for help. Come clean while it's still the day of grace. God calls you so to do. If you will number your ways, your days, and apply your heart to wisdom, you'll hear His word. You need to know, if you will live on in any sin and cling to any evil way, whatever, making whatever excuses for doing that, you prove that in fact you are not truly saved. That's right. If you can live in any sin, you are not saved. When we are truly converted, somebody said, that one preacher said the other day, "Yeah, on my way here, I got hit by a logging truck." And he said to his congregation, "Do you believe that?" He said, "No, because if you got hit by a logging truck, it would tell." And he used that to explain to the congregation, if you are saved, you can tell. And if you're not saved, you can tell too.
And you stay on in your sin and you play games with religion and you continue in sin. When we are truly converted, we cannot and we dare not sin. And we pray and we resolve by God's grace and Spirit not to live on in any sin a single day longer. Is that true of you and me? Is our religion that real or not? God knows if it is or isn't. He who covers his sins shall not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes his sin shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. Here too, notice with me yet the words of Holy Scripture just before our main text, Psalm 90, verse 12. In the verse before, Psalm 90, verse 11, Moses states in all seriousness, and I don't know how many people think of this, who knows the power of your anger? Speaking of God. Even according to your fear, so is your wrath. Spurgeon says in connection with this verse, Holy Scripture, when it depicts God's wrath against sin, never uses hyperbole. Meaning, Scripture never exaggerates the matter. You know, in our day and age, when God's holiness and God's righteous wrath against sin is often just downplayed and distorted and discounted and denied even by all too many, how important that we keep this in mind, God's righteous anger against sin. It is not something just of the Old Testament either, as some want us to believe. No, for listen to what we read in Hebrews 10, verse 31 and Hebrews 12, verse 29. Hebrews 10, 31 states, for those who will just live on in sin, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And Hebrews 12, 29 declares, in reference to those who maybe want to be religious and say they are Christians, but who live on in sin, our God is a consuming fire. Beloved, when confessing Christians today think they can live in sin and be worldly like the world around us, and God won't mind that much, because after all, Jesus saved them, and God is love, they are forgetting what all Jesus Christ, as Savior of sinners, suffered and endured to save sinners like us, and what His goal is in His salvation work. Jesus suffered and endured in soul and body nothing less than the full weight and power of God's holy wrath and anger against sin. And He did it for this purpose, to save His people from their sins, not to keep them in their sins. What shall you and I, saying we are saved, live thanklessly before the Lord, regardless what He suffered? Will we continue in sin? No, those whom God saves, He also sanctifies by His Spirit and Word. And it doesn't mean we don't struggle with sin. It doesn't mean we don't fall in sin. But we cannot live in sin. Our life is a life of repentance then before God. We then more and more hate sin and evil. And we want to become like God is, holy and good, righteous in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Well, is that you? Is that me? Will we so live by the grace of God in the coming year? God helping us step by step, day by day? I don't think you will unless you pray much. Also Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom, to gain a heart of wisdom. You may say, Pastor, where's Jesus in this text? Do you know that Jesus took this text most seriously? From the days of His childhood, this was His prayer. Teach me, Lord, to number my days, to apply my heart to wisdom. Jesus prayed and lived this text perfectly. That's in Him we have our salvation, because He lived and prayed this text perfectly. He numbered His days, and everything was in view of His death on sinners' behalf. Let Him be our refuge, and let Him be our example. Is there yet more we might learn from this psalm to help us in numbering our days and gaining a heart of wisdom? Oh yes, there is. And here I point you to the last part of the psalm, which is an earnest prayer to God to remember us in His mercy and to help us and our children living in this sad and sinful world full of evil. We may pray. Yes, hallelujah. We may pray to this covenant-keeping God in all generations. We may pray to him for his mercy and his grace and love and favor. Yes, we may pray to let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. In the context, Moses means with that expression, Lord, let the fullness of your divine love and kindness and favor and your saving help and keeping care be upon us and our children. Yes, be always there for us, O God, gracious God, so to bless us and to uphold us. And don't leave us for a moment to ourselves. We and our children and children's children, we may bring them, congregation, before the Lord, pleading his faithfulness and mercy and grace in all generations till the last day. And isn't this most encouraging? And so very comforting also living in our times. As a grandparent, I find refuge in that. As I see our children and children's children living in these times, say, oh God, spare them. Remember them in mercy. And that's not a hopeless prayer, because God is the everlasting God, remembering in all generations his promises. We know Christ came as the Emmanuel, meaning God with us, and he came to dwell among us, that we might receive out of his fullness grace for grace, we and our children in the generations. Notice that Moses even prays and encourages us to pray for God's blessing on the work of our hands and to establish us in all our daily responsibilities and relationships, in our works and ways, helping us in and through it all, ultimately in the way everlasting. In other words, beloved congregation, in the way of gaining hearts of wisdom, as taught us here, set by Moses in Psalm 90, we may ask you and I truly and repeatedly, Lord, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us in everything of our life, at work, at home, in church, in society. And let the beauty of the Lord be reflected in us and through us to those around us. In and through Christ the Savior, the gospel promise and pledges that God in all his fullness will be so gracious and good doing God. He will never let us down, but he will rather always lead us in our every care for body and soul in the way everlasting and in the way of fruitfulness and comfort and joy and peace for his own name's sake. You know, the opposite of having the beauty of the Lord our God upon us is living still under the wrath of God. That's why no unsaved person, really, from the Bible's perspective, can have a happy new year. You really can't. If you're not a Christian, you can't have a happy new year. You're just headed to eternal doom if you continue like that. What reasons, therefore, to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to learn this prayer of Moses in Psalm 90. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Well, again, I ask, do you agree with me? Heartily agree. Isn't this prayer something for us all? A great prayer, earnestly to pray and pursue after. Yes, now in spirit and truth, every day and every night even, in the year ahead too for us. Doesn't the whole of Psalm 90 drive this home to you too, even as we have briefly just pondered on certain parts of it? Should we not be so thankful to the Lord for also giving this prayer of Moses to us to pray? So instructive, so helpful and encouraging for us as we go on from year to year. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. May the Lord bless this sermon. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and in us and reflected from us in 2019, each and every day, and that we walk in wisdom's ways and point and draw others in that way too, while it is the season of grace still. Psalm 90, verse 12. The theme for the sermon as given in the bulletin is a daily prayer for the new year. You won't forget it, will you? And even so, a very happy new year to you all. Amen.